you, Brother Joe Barry, Ms. Brendan Cabot, for playing this morning. I appreciate you being here again. Brother Ricky, I appreciate you leading the singing this morning. Brother Ricky is going to sing a song of invitation for us in a few minutes. And then Brother Tim, Wendy, and Melania, thank you for the skit this morning. And I'm glad you're here. I appreciate you being in the house of the Lord. Take your Bible and turn with me, please, to Psalms 37. If you missed Brother Gary Mayberry's four-week series on hope, the life that hope builds, you ought to get that. You can go back to the E-team room back there in the back, fill out a little form. They'll get you all four of those CDs on that Bible study you did, and it'll be a blessing to you. One of the passages of scriptures he read during that study is one I'm going to read from my text this morning, and he talked about hope and the truth, reality of what hope really is in the believer's life. You ever felt like that sometimes it's not worth all the trouble you've gone to be saved? And you ever look around and wonder, why is it that it looks to me like that folk who don't even know Christ get along better than Christians do? Maybe not you personally, but you look at some others and you say, man, why is it? Man, here's somebody I know that loves the Lord, and they live for Jesus. They pray, they're praising God, and they're a real blessing. And yet they're going through so many difficult times. You ever wonder about that? You ever wondered on your own self that seemed like everything in the world happened, the devil jumped up on your shoulder and said, well, see there, you trying to love God and serve God, and you give your tithes and all that, and there you're in a tight, and you're in trouble financially, and you're having all these physical problems. Well, I want you to know that's not anything new. In the book of Ecclesiastes, said there's no new thing under the sun. And Satan's tactics are not new. If you go through the Bible, you'll find out that everything you're going through, somebody in the Bible went through. And everything you experience, somebody's experienced it. May have a different name, have a different label, but it's pretty much the same way. He attacks the same way all the time. And I want to read a passage of scripture to you. Sometimes people, you know, they come to the place, they said, you know, what's the difference? You know, what is so different about being saved? I look at other people not saved, and they get along better than we do. Well, listen to what David said. And, you know, I read Psalm 37. I said 37. I got dyslexia. I'm going to do 37. Go to 73 first. 37. I'm going to do 37. And because that's what Brother Gary read, I said 37. I want to start at Psalm 73. You don't have to go very far over there. Amen. And so Psalm 73. I want you to listen to David. Here is called the sweet singer of Israel. And God blessed you. Remember when he was a boy growing up, he God gave him a great wisdom and great power, and he was able to defeat the giant and all those things, and then became king of Israel. And he was God's sweet singer of Israel. He had problems like many of us do. But I want you to listen to this testimony. See if you've ever fit in this category. Psalm 73, truly God is good to Israel, even such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. He said, I see God blessing people. He said, it doesn't seem like he's blessing me like he's blessing them. And he's been king. He's king of Israel. I mean, God made him king. You ever kind of, the devil slip up beside you and say, you know, God's answering everybody else's prayers but yours. God's blessing everybody else but you. He said, truly, God's good to Israel, but as for me, you know, I'm having a tough time, you know. And if they were going through what I'd gone through, they wouldn't act like they do. They wouldn't be happy. Woo, praise God and all that stuff. But I got news for you. None of us are like that all the time. None of it. We all go through dark days. And David here is fixing to go through one. Listen to what he said. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps were well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there is no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasses them about as a chain, and violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, and they have more than heart could wish. Look at all these people. These are people not even saved. And he said, man, listen. He said, they got more than you could ever imagine. They live life, and they die, and there's no difference between them and us. And they've got all the things. He said, I looked at all that, and he said, I couldn't figure it out. Verse 8. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak lofty. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and the waters of a full cup are wrung out of them. And they say, how doth God know? You know, as people, they live like they want to, and they'll sin, and yet they have plenty of financial gain and success in business and sports and every other. And they said, you know, God doesn't pay any attention to us. I mean, and we get by with all this. And is there knowledge in the Most High? Does God know what I'm doing? And God doesn't pay attention to me. There's no such thing as God. I'm not worried about God. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world, and they increase in riches. And listen to David's sad testimony. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain. He said, have I served God for nothing? Have I got saved and I've been washed in the blood, and yet I'm going through so many trouble. Am I serving God for nothing? And he goes on, he washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long, I've been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. He said, I tried to rationalize it, tried to figure it all out, and I couldn't do it. But then he takes one step in verse 17. Until I went unto the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. I'm not going to read the rest of it. We ought to read the rest of it, but skip to verse 28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all his works. David came to a conclusion, I'm going to just trust God. I'm going to just trust God. Oh, Brother Chuck sings that Ivan Parker song. I'm going to believe. I guess his name, but I can't remember the name of it now. But I choose to believe. I choose to believe. Now, you can either live in a life of confusion. You can live trying to figure this whole thing out, or you can believe God. Now, the thing is, if David's gone through that, I go through that, you go through that, then evidently God has given us some answers in the Bible for it. Now, I do want you to go back to Psalms 37. This is one of the passages of Scripture that Brother Gary used, as well as I think he read some from 73 as well. But Psalms 37. I really would love to read all of this, but you can read it. For the sake of time, I'll not read it all, but I do want to read the first beginning of this. Notice what it says in verse number 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the works of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. And so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the morning. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. A little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. I want to skip down for just a little bit and look down at verse number 16. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of the wicked. Look at verse 18. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. What a blessed thing. Look at verse 25. I have been young, and I'm old. Now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. Skip down to verse 39. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in a time of trouble. The Lord shall keep them and deliver them, and shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. Will you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, I want to thank you now for your mercy and grace. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost this morning will encourage the hearts of God's people. I want to thank you for all you've done for us and, God, for all that you are. And our Father, I pray, God, that we'll not miss the message. Our Father, we're interested in hearing from heaven. And God, for some dear lady, man, those in the internet audience, boys and girls, whoever, God, I pray you would speak to their heart and God of heaven would speak to them. And God, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. There are some people who look at the wicked and they think, well, you know, mom and daddy trust the Lord. Look what they got. They don't have much. And here's somebody over here and they live for the devil. And yet they've got plenty. And so young people kind of weigh that into balances. And so if you look at it from that perspective, well, I don't need to serve God. I don't need to read the Bible. I don't need to be saved. And then some people who are Christians, and particularly some young Christians, they look at that and they say, I don't understand that. Why is it all like that? What's the difference? What difference does it make? Well, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of difference between being saved and being lost. There's a lot of difference. Does it mean that you won't have problems? No, listen to what the Lord said. The Lord said this, in the world, you'll have tribulation. Now, that word tribulation is a very defining word. It has to do with the idea of somebody going through a wheat field with one of those sickle type things and cutting it down and cutting it down and cutting it down. In the great tribulation period in the book of Revelation, that's what it's talking about. It's a time of terrible judgment. And he said, you as a believer, you're going to have some times like that. Bible said, wicked men wax worse and worse. Bible said, cast all your cares upon him. He cares for you. Means you're going to have some cares. He said, everybody that's heavy laden, come unto me. I'll give you rest. You're going to have some heavy, heavy burdens. He said in the book of 1 Peter, he said, the trial of your faith, though it's tried with fire, might be found on precious gold. So you're going to go through some fire. You might as well know that. You're going to go through some physical things that's tough. You're going to go through some spiritual things that's tough, some emotional things. But what difference does it make? What difference does it make whether you're saved or not? Well, I'm going to tell you, in the first place, it makes a lot of difference because you have a different father than they have. He said to a group of people one time, you're of your father the devil. Now, being born in the world does not mean that God's your father. He only becomes your father by birth. And he said in the book of Romans chapter 8, he said that when you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes in our heart crying, Abba, Father. Thank God when you get saved by the grace of God, you have a heavenly Father. You've got somebody who's going to take care of you. We've been studying the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That speaks of the nature of our birth. We have experienced a birth and he is our Father. Thank God he's holy. He doesn't ever lie to us. Hey, I all these years of almost 50 years of pastoring, I hate to say it, but I've talked to a lot of young people, kids and grown adults whose daddy was very abusive. He was wicked. They did things you wouldn't imagine to children. But you, as a Christian, my dear friend, there's a lot of difference between having Satan as your father and having the Lord as your father. Because you see, he said, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ. He's a kind, loving father. He's a mighty father. He's an all-knowing father. He knows what's best. And if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got a heavenly father that they don't have. Because you've been born again. He is your heavenly father. You're eternally his child. And the Bible said, thank God we're going to go live in the Father's house one of these days. I'm glad, my dear friend, I don't have to obey Satan anymore. I'm glad I've been born again. But not only things are different so far as you're concerned in the fact that you have a heavenly Father, but things are different for those who trust Christ because you have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know what the Lord said? I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Did he say you won't go through hard times? No. Did he say you won't have to go through the fire? No. But he said this, I'll be with you. I won't ever, ever forsake you. And can I tell you right now, there may be times that your wife will leave you, your husband will leave you, your family will leave you. Maybe a time when your friends will leave you, but there'll never be a time when he'll leave you. He said, I will never forsake thee. I'll be with you. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You can trust him. You can trust him. David talked about him being his shepherd and through all the trials of life. And even to this point, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. You got a friend that are stick close to their brother's name, Jesus. That makes all the difference in the world because there'll be a time when all your friends will walk out on you. If you knew the heart of all that crowd that you think, boy, everything's going good for them, if you knew the sleepless nights, if you knew what they were going through. And occasionally we see it play out in news media. People who've reached the pinnacle, they've got everything they want, and yet they take their own life because they don't have any inner peace. They don't have that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But my dear friend, listen, you can look at all that. You see that, you know that's going on. You're going through those things. But you've got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But I say this to you, not only you have a father that has birthed you in his kingdom, and a friend that sticketh closer other than in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, but thank God you've got a feeling, F-I-L-L-I-N-G, that will sustain you through anything. That's the person of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God dwells in every believer. And he's called the Lord Jesus Christ when he was leaving. He said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll send you another comforter. That word comforter means a parakletos, somebody who comes alongside to sustain or to hold up. You think you can't go through what you're facing? You can. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God's inside of you. And you know what he said? He said the Holy Spirit of God is inside of you. He'll guide you in all truth. He's in you to help you. The Spirit of God is living inside of every believer, my dear friend. There's a feeling that will sustain you. It's the person of the Holy Spirit of God. When you can't trust yourself, you can trust him. When you can't pray yourself, he'll pray for you with groanings that cannot be uttered. He'll live inside of you. He'll help you. He'll empower you. He'll give you the grace that you need. He's there with you. Just want somebody to hold your hand. Just want somebody to hold you in the night. The Holy Spirit of God's there. He'll be with you no matter what. He's right with you, the Holy Spirit of God. But my dear friend, what difference does it make? If you're going to go through sorrow and heartache as a believer, what difference does it make? Well, you've got a Heavenly Father they don't have. And you've got a friend that's sticking close to the brother, and you've got a feeling. You've got the feeling, the person of the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. But then you have a faith as a believer that can grow and make all the difference in the world. This is what Brother Gary was talking about when he was talking about the ministry of hope in our life and the Holy Spirit of God working that in our life. Turn with me, please, over to the book of Romans. Let me share with you one of the most familiar passages of Scripture in all the Bible, Dr. Lee Robertson, one of his favorite passages of Scripture here in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. Look with me, please. You have a faith that'll make a difference in your time of trial, no matter what's going on. Notice what it said in the book of Romans in chapter number 8, and I call your attention to verse number 28. In this passage of Scripture. It's a very lengthy passage, but I'll not read it all, but I just want to read verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them which are the called according to his purpose. That word know is significant. As a believer, you don't think that, you know that. God, the Holy Ghost will make that work in your life. That's the work of faith in your life to where you come to where you know it. He said, these things have I written to you that you might know that you have eternal life. Not you think you're saved, but you know you're saved. And you come to the place in your life when you know that all things work together for good to them that love God. The good and the bad, no matter what happens, the good and the bad, everything comes your way, that God has a purpose in it. He said this, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. Everything in your life, the faith that will sustain you is this, I don't understand it. I don't understand why I had to go through this. I don't understand why I'm going through that. Don't understand why friends are going through that. I don't understand why everybody else has got plenty and I'm just struggling along. I don't understand it, but I do know this. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. God will give you that peace. God will bring you to the place where in the darkest hour of your life, there'll be peace in your heart. Trust in him and knowing that God has got a plan for your life. And there is a faith that will sustain you in all of that. You know that. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, it says this, we walk by faith and not by sight. As I've been thinking about that verse over the last day or two, we walk by faith and not by sight. Sometimes. No. As a believer, that is your way of life. I love to be able to see it. I love to be able to touch it. I like to know everything's right. But he said, as a believer, you will walk by faith and not by sight. God has been good to me. God's blessed me. He's took care of me. He's healed me. He's saved me. He's given me a wonderful family. He's blessed in every physical way you could ever imagine, financial way you could ever imagine. But we walk by faith and not by sight. Not sometime, but all the time. In the good times and the bad. He's still there. He loves you. And my dear friend, you've got a faith that will sustain you. Just let God speak to your heart. Let God build that faith in your heart to trust Him. Again, I quote the verse that is one of the most amazing verses in all the Bible to me. Job was a man who walked with God. He eschewed evil. He was a good man. Not a better man on all the whole face of the earth. Now, God couldn't say that about me. But He could say about Job, he's a righteous man. And he was a noble man. And he was a believing man. And yet, God let him go through some tough times. He lost all of his children in one day. Lost all of his family in one day, just like that. Not one, but all of them in one day. He lost all of his livelihood in one day. Lost all of his sheep, all of his oxen, all camels, everything. Lost all of that. Lost all of his servants except for three or four in one day. Lost everything. In the process of time, in the next few days, he lost his health. His family, all of his children gone. All of his livelihood's gone. Now his health's gone. He's sitting out on an ash heap. From the top of his head to the sole of his feet, he's one solid sore. Wonder what he's thinking. Because there are all around him people who are prospering and doing well. He walked with God, loved God. You know what? What would you say? Would you say all this has been for naught? Like David, I've cleansed my hands in vain. I've served God for nothing. The most astounding thing comes out of that man's mouth. His wife said, "Why don't you curse God and die? That'd be relief. Won't you just turn your back and say, I've served God for nothing. God's let me down. God hadn't took good care of me." And you know what Job said? Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Wow. What faith. You know what? If you could, if God help you, and God would help you to grow in your faith, you come to that point that where if the car's running, I'm going to trust God. If the transmission goes out, I'm going to trust God. If I'm well physically, I'm going to trust God. If I'm sick physically, I'm going to trust God. And in all of that, God will give you a peace of God that passes on understanding and a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Wouldn't it be great? I'm going to tell you, that's what it's all about. He wants you to bring you to that place like David said. They trust in Him and we trust God. You have a faith that will sustain you. Let God build that faith in you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You need to hear the Word of God every occasion. You're going to go through hard times. I wished I had some answers. I don't have all the answers. I don't have any of the answers most of the time. But I pastored people who are hurting, people who experienced sudden death in their family and great tragedy in their home. And they, why? I don't have answers. But I do know this, that God can bring you to a place of faith to where you trust Him, though He slay you, regardless of whatever happens. And I'm going to tell you, what you really want to know, you want something to give you some answer so you have some sort of peace and be able to deal with this situation. But did you know what? God can do greater than that. God cannot give you any answers, but He can give you the peace and bypass all the answers. And my dear friend, that's what you're really looking for anyway. And it's in your trust in Him. You have a faith that will sustain you no matter what happens. Just praise God. I'm going to rejoice in Him. But there's more to it than this. Paul said, in this world, thank God we've got a Father who loves us. We've got a friend that sticketh closer to the brother. And we've got the Holy Spirit of God to fill us. And we've got a faith to sustain us. But Paul made a simple statement that helps me to understand and relate to him. He said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we of all men most miserable. Now, what's he mean by that? This is not the end. Thanks God. What's the difference? What difference does it make? This is not the end. This is not what it's all about. Your life is a vapor. It appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. But this is not the end. There's more to the story than this. Because you have a fortune you cannot calculate. The Bible said we have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. Thank God for that. Thank God. Listen, we've got an inheritance in the saints. The Bible said that in the book of Romans that we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. What's that mean? It means that as a believer, as God is your Father, Jesus Christ, our brother, our Savior, that you are co-heir with Jesus in everything. Sometimes when there's an estate, it's divided up. If there are four children, divided up four ways, everybody gets their four parts. But we're not like that. The Bible says that we are co-heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that means? It means that everything that God the Father has, everything in this whole world that you and I own, co-equally with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof. And the Bible said the rotten of meat shall inherit the earth. Did you know that as a believer, you say, well, Brother Billy, all I got is minuses on my checkbook. I don't have enough money to do anything. I can't get out of town. I couldn't put gas in the car. But did you know what? You've got an offshore account. Matter of fact, it's not offshore. It's out of this world. It's in another world. And you know what? You've got a fortune that you can't calculate up there in heaven. Thank God for that. He said, lay up for yourselves treasures. And see, a lot of things you've been doing, you didn't even know it was a treasure. When you were praising God in your sickness, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching is adding up in heaven. When you gave a tract, when you witnessed somebody and they showed absolutely no concern, talking about Wednesday night about witnessing somebody and they didn't respond to it. I mentioned to them, the witness is never wasted. I had a man to come testify at our church one time. He was a member. He was this wicked man, lived on the highway. I mean, he was just wicked. Did everything you'd ever imagine. And he got saved. And he made a little statement, giving his testimony about what and all he'd done and how God had saved him, God changed his life, this, that, and the other. But he said when he was out on the road living a wicked life, so occasionally somebody picked him up as a Christian. And they'd talk about the sunshine, this, that, and the other. And then invariably, he said, they'd start talking about Jesus. I want to talk about Jesus and about how good God was. And he said, I'd listen to it as long as I could, and I'd get mad. He said, I'd cuss him out, and I'd tell him, stop the car, let me get out. He said, I'll tell you something. I've been saved now all these years. He said, I remember every one of those witnesses. I remember every one of them. He said, God was putting something in my life in every one of them. I didn't know it. I could care less at the time. I cuss them out. He said, but boy, every one of them was getting in my heart. My dear friend, listen, those people who witnessed to him and he cussed them out, I'm sure they rode on down the road kind of dejected, thinking, well, I don't have the power of God on me. If I had the power of God, I could lead them to the Lord. Must not know the right answer or anything else. But did you know what? When they get the glory and he's there, why, he said, what is our crown of rejoicing? He said, not even you. You are the crown of rejoicing. And thank God for that. The Lord Jesus Christ is all of the treasure. You don't have no idea what kind of treasure you got in heaven till you get there. But it's a wonderful thing. The Bible said we have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, reserved in heaven for us. But can I say something else to you? If this, in this life only we are more life, men most miserable, you got a fortune that you can't calculate. But, oh, my dear friend, you've got a future that you could never imagine. Oh, what a day that's going to be. What a day that's going to be when you see Jesus. The Bible said we are now the sons of God. Nothing yet appear what we're going to be. When we see him, we'll be like him. Like him. I want to show you one verse in the book of Romans chapter number 8. And I'll be through. I'm going to finish. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Mark this verse. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Can I tell you right now? It will be worth it all when you see Jesus. It'll be worth it all. What difference does it make? You're going to see him one of these days. You've got a fortune you cannot calculate on the other side, an inheritance fading not away, but you've got a future you can't imagine. To be in glory forever and ever and ever. I say it, you say it, other people say it. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him a bunch of questions. I'm going to get him to tell me why this happened. But you know what? Truth of the matter is, when we get to heaven, it won't matter. It'll be all win. Thank God. Listen, can I just tell you one thing? Trust him. Just trust him. Let God build in you that faith that'll sustain you. And my dear friend, understand this. This is not your home. Your inheritance is in another land, and your future is more than you could ever imagine in that place called heaven. He said this, if our earthly tabernacle be destroyed, we have another one in glory. He said, I've learned this. As long as I'm in this body, I'm going to have trouble. But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Thank God for that. That's that real hope that Brother Gary preached about. That we know. It's not something we think, it's something we know. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. I want you to bow your heads for prayer. I want you to bow your heads right now. Brother Rick is going to come. He's going to sing this song for us. I want you to listen to the song. But as he's coming to sing the song, I want you to listen to it. And I'll invite you. I'll not have you stand, but I want, right where you are, if you feel led of the Lord, if you want to just get around this altar. And it doesn't have to be big things that you're going through. Sometimes it's just little things. A little thing. But somehow the devil will just work on you, and he'll say, well, you know, why in the world? I can't get this to work, can't get that to work. And you get so frustrated, you say, what in the world? I'm trying to love God and nothing works. But I want you to come this morning, if God spoke to your heart, and just say, Lord, I love you. And Lord, I'm honest, I don't understand what's going on, but God, I want to have that faith built in me to where I can say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I want that peace in my heart. And God, I want to thank you. Help me be a witness for Jesus and glorify your name no matter what. David said one time, I've washed my hands in vain. I've served God for nothing. But then he said, listen, that's not really so. I know the difference. You may go through that time, the devil will convict you. But right now, let's let God minister our heart. I invite you to come. Listen to Brother Ricky as he sings. We'll have a closing prayer in just a moment. But as he sings, you come. If you're not saved, you come trust Christ. Come on right now.